Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's been 1 week since we awakened to the news that part of the Francis Scott Key Bridge had collapsed into the Patapsco River after it was struck by a cargo ship headed out of the port of Baltimore. 6 construction workers lost their lives. The remains of 4 of those workers have yet to be recovered. But work to find them and to clear the debris from the crash site continues despite difficult and dangerous conditions. Governor Wes Moore joins us now on Zoom. Governor, welcome back to the show.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much, Tom.
Tell us a little bit about the channels, the small channel that has been opened up. There has been a little bit of ship traffic going through in that area. There's one on the northeast side. What can you tell us about the status of that effort?
Yes, and first I say, you know, we're a week away from 6 families who got a phone call that none of us would ever want to receive. And so that our hearts are still continue to go out, and we continue to keep them lifting up in prayer. We have, since this incident has happened, we really laid out 4 objectives. And I said the objectives were that we've got to make sure that we're continuing to provide a sense of closure and comfort to these families. We've got to make sure that we're taking care of our people and the workers. We've got to make sure that we're focusing on reopening and getting the key bridge back up. And we've got to get these channels opened. And we know there's been very real milestones that we have hit on that. Just a day ago, we were able to help lift over 200 tons out of the water, which is significant. People say, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? 200 tons is about the weight of the Statue of Liberty. And so the progress of being able to get the debris and the wreckage out of the water has begun. And that also means opening up these channels. Right now, we have channels that are open on the northeast side that you're absolutely right, has about a 10-foot of draw. So we're able to start getting certain boats, certain tugs inside of the area. But the reality is that we're going to need a whole lot more in order for us to get to the full level that we know that the Port of Baltimore needs, and to get all types of ships and cargo in back through the Port of Baltimore and open up its maritime operations. So this is a 24-hour operation, a 24/7 operation. People have literally been working around the clock in order to speed up and make sure we're doing this safely. And while we've had some real milestones, we know there's still a long road ahead.
There's a second channel evidently on the southwest side of that area that might have a depth or a draw of about 15 feet. Any notion of the timeline of when that one would open?
Well, we know that, that 15 might be on the high end of what we're looking at for that area. And there's still some clearance that needs to happen in order for that to take place. You know, the weather every single day, another thing that we are battling, just adding to the larger complexity of this situation, is the weather. I know the weather for today, particularly the presence of lightning, is tricky because, I've said, and I will keep on saying, Tom, you know, we've lost 6 Marylanders. I refuse to lose any more. We've got to make sure we're moving smartly and moving safely inside this moment. So we're hoping that we can get those additional channels up close soon, that we can start getting to the 15, 25, 30, et cetera, and then on and on to continue the full opening of the channel. But we know that we're going to need some cooperation and good luck from the weather as we're continuing to bring the machinery in that's going to be necessary and required.
Right. Of course, there are 7 other ships that are, you know, they and their crews are stuck in the port as well. They can't get out along, right, obviously, with the Dahlia, which is, stuck at the bridge. Can you give us any update on the status of the search for the remains of the 4 workers whose remains have not yet been recovered? And part of the clearing away of the debris and the wreckage has to do with the safety of the divers going in and looking for those bodies.
Correct. Yeah. No, and I remember I first had a chance to start meeting with the families when it was still a search and rescue operation. And I promised them that we would use every asset that we could to be able to try to safely find their family members, air, land, and sea assets. And when it transitioned to a recovery mission, I promised them the same thing, that we would spare no asset, to be able to just try to bring them a sense of closure and a sense of peace that they need. I also know that this operation is still a remarkably dangerous one. You know, the divers who are going in, that these divers are having to navigate debris and wreckage, and the water is so full of debris that the divers can't see past 1 to 2 feet in front of them because of both the darkness and the debris. So it's still a very dangerous operation. We are committed to bringing a sense of closure to the families, but we also know we have to protect and take care of our first responders who are continuing to execute that mission.
You issued a proclamation extending the General Assembly session for 10 days. Sine die, the last day of the session, at this point scheduled for next Monday. So coming right up. But budget negotiations continue. The legislature has not passed a budget. What can you tell us about negotiations having to do with the House and Senate feelings about passing the budget?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, we introduced a budget at the start of session that made historic investments in education and historic investments in childcare, historic investments in housing, and it was a budget that we passed without raising any taxes. I know that the House and the Senate right now are going through their process, and we respect the process that the House and Senate are going through in order to come up with a consolidated budget that they will then present to me. And I want to make sure that we are giving them the space to be able to do just that. I know they are not that far apart. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to come to a conclusion. So the executive order that I signed allowing more time, that I'm hopeful that won't be necessary as we're going through this process. But I did want to provide the space for them to be able to come to the long-term conclusion that saying we can have a budget that's going to be bold, a budget that is going to make investments in areas that we need to make investments in, and also one that is going to be fiscally responsible for the people of the state, particularly the working families.
The House wants to include some revenue enhancements this year. That's a fancy way of saying taxes and fees, that sort of thing. Senate President Ferguson and you have said in the last several weeks, this is not the time for that. This is not the year for that. But I wonder, has the fact that the Key Bridge tragedy has occurred, has that changed your calculus about the need for new taxes or fees in this year?
Well, you know, I went into it as we first presented our budget with a budget that made these historic investments without raising taxes. And I said that any conversation around revenues, that it was going to have a very high bar for me. We are when I say monitoring closely, I mean monitoring daily the economic impact and the economic impact that we are seeing that then not just on the state of Maryland, but on the nation's economy. This is real. We're talking about one of the most active ports inside of the country. We're talking about the largest port when it comes to dealing with new cars and heavy trucks and agricultural equipment and spices and sugars. So the economic impact of the Port of Baltimore and this shutdown of maritime activities in the Port of Baltimore, it can't be overstated. And I think that, we're going to be working with the legislature to ensure that not only is the state going to be protected and cared for, but also being very smart and deliberate and intentional about how do we focus on creating economic growth, but doing and knowing that that cannot be on the backs of our working families.
There are 15,000 or so people who work at the Port of Baltimore. There are two bills, one sponsored by Delegate Lou Klippinger, the other by Senate President Ferguson, who represent South Baltimore and a lot of the workers at the port who are affected, that would authorize you to spend some of the rainy day fund in Maryland, which is about $2 billion, to support those workers, to replace their lost wages, et cetera. What's your take on that proposal?
Well, I'm eager to work with, and we are working very closely with the legislature on the Port Act, because I think there are a few different important components to it. One is, how are we making sure that we are taking care of our workers? And, you know, that was one of the four directives that I laid out. That was one of them, that we've got to take care of our people. And that includes these port workers, where we have, you know, 8,000 who are directly impacted by this, 1,300 who have not gone back to work since the bridge came down. So we have to make sure that our workers are protected in this. And I'm thankful that we're working with both the General Assembly and also our federal partners and our federal delegation to do that. We do know that the rainy day fund is an option that is out there, that you have to be very thoughtful about how you're utilizing that capital. But we have to make sure, and we will make sure, that our workers are protected and cared for and taken care of, because these are people who woke up realizing that their place of work is now not there, and they need to be helpful. I'm currently right now spend time at the Business Recovery Center over in Baltimore City, where we're working with Care First and other state agencies like our Department of Labor, the Small Business Association, the Maryland Insurance Administration, and we're focusing on things like disaster assistance and workforce development for people who've been directly impacted by it. So whether it's conversations with people like Casey, who has a tire company, or people like Will, who has a trucking company, we have to make sure that these individuals are cared for and supported as we are working to reopen these channels.
And I know we got to let you go, but one more quick question about the PORT Act. How is it distinct from regular unemployment insurance?
Well, that's actually one of the things we're working through right now, is that there is the basic access to unemployment insurance. But in this case of emergency, and in this case of disaster, we're looking into any and all options about how do we extend that measurement of flexibility that people have. And when I say flexibility, that both includes gating criteria and also timeline that it can exist in. So we are pushing and exploring every possibility about how we ensuring that our people are going to be safe and taken care of.
Governor Westmore, thank you for your time, and of course we will stay in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and pray for these families.
Indeed. Well, that's it for us today on this edition of Midday. Coming up tomorrow, a conversation with former state prosecutor Debbie Hines about her new book, Get Off My Neck, Black Lives, White Justice, and a Former Prosecutor's Quest for Reform. It's an important contribution to the ongoing conversation about criminal justice reform. Debbie concentrates on the role of state prosecutors, not so much police, etc., but state prosecutors themselves. She is a former prosecutor here in Maryland. She's also worked as a defense attorney. And our conversations with the candidates continues. That series, of course, will continue right up to the May 14th primary. Next Tuesday, I'll speak with April Delaney, who is a Democrat running in the 6th Congressional District. Fresh Air is up now after news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.